Fighters podcast. He's Aaron. I'm Chris. And we're here to talk some Vikings football. We got a big game coming up against the Dallas Cowboys Halloween night at home, Sunday night football. It's going to be a big game, obviously. And, you know, we talked a little bit about it last week, how, you know, these next four games are very, very crucial. It was awesome to get back to 3-3, no doubt. Especially considering, you know, some of the tough teams we faced and some of the circumstances, I'll say, that happened, you know, in those games. But it's put up or shut up time here in the next four games. No doubt about it. Like I said, being back in 3-3 is great, but it won't mean a whole lot if we go with this stretch, obviously 0-4, but even 1-3, because you start to get leaky. But, you know, when you look at that 6-7 spot right now, it seems there's a top five, and Dallas is included in that. Some of these other teams that we're going to play is included in that top five in the NFC. But when you look at that 6-7 slot, it's pretty damn wide open. So I guess technically 1-3 would be doable. But then we'd have to win like 4 in a row or 3 in a row somewhere. Anyway, we will kind of talk post-buy items offensively, defensively. You know, obviously, Dantzler is having to step in here. You know, he tweeted something. He was wanting to play after starting a lot of games as a rookie and looking good down the stretch doing it, no doubt about it. But he's got to step up. You're just talking off air that he lost 15 pounds from COVID, man. I hope he's back fully. Will Pierce come back? We did, you know, damn sure need him for this run. So there's a variety of things. Of course, we'll preview the Cowboys game. And then if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know we end the show on a Gopher football segment. They got a big win over Maryland. They have a road game against Northwestern. But if this is your first time listening to this year Vikings podcast, welcome. It's available in a variety of areas. It streams live on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope It Open. Download the show directly there or listen to the browser. You can find the Ropeadope Radio podcast platform on Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, other places. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. We also have a page that Aaron started up last year called Living in Loserville. Okay, some people like that name. Some people don't. Some people get what we're saying. Living in Loserville. At Spricker. It's a Spricker page. Of course, we have this show there. We talk Gophers football and basketball in, of course, the Timberwolves once the football season is done in February because the Vikes are going on the Super Bowl. Okay, whatever. Anyway, that's Living in Loserville, Spricker. And also, one more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called DirecTV Stream. The prices start as low as $69.99 a month. It's the best of live TV and on-demand, no annual contract, no hidden fees. If you upgrade to the Choice or Ultimate, that gives you 3 free months of HBO Max, plus you get to enjoy regional sports networks with no additional fees. And if you go all the way to the premium, that gives you HBO Max and Showtime already included. That's DirecTV Stream. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host to help kind of talk us through the post-buy topics. I mean, there's a variety of them, both offensively and defensively, and individual player stuff. And how you doing, first and foremost? The last couple of days, the wind's picked up a little bit here in Minnie, and it's starting to feel like an actual fall. We've been kind of spoiled this fall, but how are things on your end? And we got a lot to talk about.
Not too bad. Yeah, the weather's changing, getting into fall, and leaves are falling off the trees. There's this one tree outside my house. I'm just clinging to the leaves on that. I think it's like a big oak tree. The leaves are still green, so I feel like we got a little bit of time left there. But, you know, going into the bye, you know, we wanted to stay healthy. That was the biggest key. And, you know, generally, I think the team is pretty healthy. Pierce may or may not be back this week. And obviously the Pat P injury is a huge deal going into the bye. And you want to come out of it. So with those two losses, I mean, those are really only two I can think of that are significant injuries. It's going to leave a lot on the table for Cam Dantzler to try to, you know, I've got mixed feelings on it. I think Cam is capable of picking up 80% of that slack, just the lack of experience. But then part of me is like, well, Cam's kind of a hothead, or I wouldn't say a hothead, but seems to be up and down, a little inconsistent, I guess is the best way to put it. And how's that going to pan out? And then, you know, go to the other side. There's Breland, and, you know, he's also inconsistent, like you like to say, feast or famine. And he's picked up this here, but then he'll drop something there. His tackling seems to improve. So I'm a little bit worried about the secondary as far as the corners are going. I think Woods and Harrison Smith are pretty good, but I think that's my biggest concern coming out of the bye.
Yeah, I mean, it's a legit question. Can, you know, Dantzler, let's say, coming off of COVID, and he didn't have just regular COVID where you had some symptoms, dude lost 15 pounds. And like I said before, it's not like he's 210 or something like that. You know what I mean? He's a skinny dude. He's a skinny long dude. But, you know, I do remember in the past when Zimmer's had, you know, he only had that one bad season last year, defensively, I should say. And, you know, there were some times when, you know, roads are closed, when he was a damn good corner, when he would be a little banged up or another corner would be a little banged up and a couple of games would go by and we'd manage just because we had a good enough defense to kind of gel. And you know, we do have a lot more depth than we've had, or especially last year, experience depth. Even like Alexander, sure, there's a couple of plays that you're like, man, you just see Alexander running, you know, after the guy or whatever. But he's played pretty solid, too. He's also able to step up. Let's say Breland or, Dantzler does have just a rough first half or something. Maybe even Alexander could pop in. It's not ideal. We like him, you know, in the slot at the nickel and whatnot. But I think that 80% thing that you talked about is dead on there. I think that that is possible. That I don't believe – you know, during this stretch, I think Dantzler, I want to kind of say this a little bit detailed here. During this four-game stretch, at least, where we won't – or three games at least, for sure, we know Pat Pete won't be playing. I think overall, Dantzler can fill some of that void, a good chunk of it. But it's kind of like, man, his first game back, and he's got to go against – you know, a plethora of wide receivers. So it's kind of got me a little nervous, especially against Dallas, because they could just wing that thing all over the yard.
They can. And CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper and I think Gallup. They still have Gallup there.
I think he's coming back. Yeah, I think just in time to face the Vikes, I think he's going to play.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tall order. Now, you know, Cam did hold up pretty well last year. But as even Cam mentioned in the press conference, that, you know, Lamb was in the slot last year, so Cam didn't see much of him. But this year they have him outside. And I think he kind of had his way with Gladney, but that being CeeDee Lamb. And that's my biggest concern. I think guys like Gallup and Cooper are more, I guess stereotypical outside wide receivers. But CeeDee Lamb's pretty dynamic in what he can do and the catches he can make. And how fast he is and what he's proven already. And, you know, if Dak is back and he continues to play as well as he has for the beginning of the season, that could be a problem. Now, I do have some faith in Cam just because I feel like he's a dog and you can beat him. He's going to come back at you, but it's a question of, you know, knowing where he has to be and his assignments and those type of things. I think athletically he's fine. It's just, are you up to speed in your brain as far as like your coverages and so on? If you can do that, try to keep things in front of you, I think we'll be all right. And I think they're probably going to see a lot of them going at Breland again, just because he's so hit and miss. And what's that going to say about Breland if he can't hold up against, you know, with Cam on the other side of him? Then it's just, it just seems to me like there's so much inconsistency now A lot of people have been talking about maybe bringing in a veteran corner from somewhere or making a trade. And yeah, I'm not really with that. I don't know where you stand on it, but I think you got corners that you need. If you get down to Boyd and Harrison Hand, though, we're going to be in some trouble.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be different if Pat P was out for the season. Then I'd say, yeah, why not? It makes no sense not to do it. We got some cap space anyway. And you're right, Dantzler. Last year, he showed he had the confidence to bounce back when he would get beat or whatever. But, man, when he get beat, it wasn't by a whole lot. I mean, I remember time and time again we'd say, and this was a lot of the corners, but we're talking about Cam here, he'd be right in the play. He'd be right there positioned well, and the guy would just make the catch. Now, sometimes that's going to happen in the NFL, obviously, just like in the Seattle game. It's a little different. But he would be right there, and then, man, down the stretch – last seven games or whatever, you look at his numbers, you just look at the eye test that popped off the screen. He looked pretty damn good, and you're right about Breland. You know, we can't get lulled to sleep in these last three games of his. Really a major improvement, but, you know, we'll see how that, you know, how that lasts. And since we're on the defensive side, they've come a long way from just giving up crazy yards. Obviously, we know about the second half, late second half, you know, scores that we've given up, the amount of points we've given up in that time. But they've come a long way basically since, like, just getting beat up all the way through Seattle through the first half. And since that second half, they've tightened up. And a lot of it is just the run defense and, you know, Griff not being offsides, you know?
Yeah, and they lead the league in good categories like sacks. They're number one in sacks in the NFL. I think number one in hurries and pressures. So they're getting, you know, pressure obviously on the quarterback. The problem is the run defense though, Chris. I think Pierce will help with that when he comes back, but it's not just that. I think there's the continuity things going on there with the linebackers, Barr coming back in and getting a feel for what's going on in there. And Tomlinson seems to be pretty good against the run, but he was not as good as maybe like Linval was, at least not yet. And we're not seeing a lot of Sheldon Richardson. So I'm thinking, you know, we got to shore that up somehow, whether that's scheme wise or what you can do, or maybe just settle in on a couple of really good run stoppers in the middle. It's hard to tell what to do to fix that because, you know, Kendricks is solid. If he's there, he'll make the tackle. Barr pretty much was touted to help the run defense, but we haven't seen a lot of that. So maybe he's getting back up to speed again. And Vigil was pretty good as well. So it's not like we don't have the athletes to do it. It's just something's going on there. To me, that smacks of like either communication or scheme or something like that. But Zimmer tends to round out pretty good run defenses. So I have to put my faith that they'll get that fixed. And to me, that's been the biggest problem. If you get pressures on the quarterback, it's going to help your secondary and guys like Cam and Breland and those guys. And, you know, Harrison Smith's seen a lot. So I feel like that's, you know, symbiotically going to help with the pass rush, help the secondary. But, you know, it's hard to really pinpoint what's still wrong with the defense, although they have improved since you said since the second half of that Seattle game. It's just they're not quite there yet, and they're going to need to be in this next stretch of four games.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna definitely need them, and also number one now in third down, which is you know, key, especially to a passing team. But yeah, I think 29th in rush allowed, also 22nd in takeaways. So we do need some more takeaways. But when a team is able to rush like they have, and it's not just, you know, we talk about, okay, limit the big chunk yardages like we're not used to seeing, and I like how you pointed that out. Some of it, sure, some of his missed tackles does seem like some of it has been a linebacker, you know, not in the right position and whatnot, or not making the play or whatever. But yeah, well, man, it really needs to tighten up that way. Because other than that, you know, besides the silly penalty here and there, it's really tightened up, and it is a bend that don't break. You know, it's damn good in the red zone as well. So, you know, I think that they can, at, you know, it's been back-to-back with Dallas. We're not previewing the game just yet, I know. But, you know, the last 2 years have been pretty high-scoring games. and it's come down pretty much to the wire, if I remember correctly. But any other defensive items you'd like to touch upon before we get into some of this offense and, dare I say, special teams?
Yeah, you can say special teams. And, you know, defensively, I think you're going to face a multitude of different offenses coming up, right? So you've got Dallas, who's very talented and pretty, I would say, a classic offense. And then you've got, you go on to face Lamar Jackson, which is a different total deal, you know, and things that they can do. And then after that, you go back to like a prototypical sort of NFL offense, and you're going to be jumping back and forth with styles here. And I think that's going to be interesting to see how they adjust defensively. I think that's like these next four games are pretty much it. You think going forward, you're going to find out at least what you're made of and what kind of team you are and what you lack and what you're good at against some pretty good teams. So defensively, like I said, I think they're going to continue to get better. I thought maybe they'd be at a point now where you could start to see a little bit of frosting on the cake, but right now it's still just, you know, baking the cake. So you got to get that stepped up, and maybe over the bye, the self-scout and so on helped out a lot with that. So offensively, Chris.
One more thing I did forget. Steven Weatherly did get traded. And Patrick Jones is now going to get some reps here.
Yeah, that's my guy. I feel like that kid's going
to
be really
good. That's why I wanted to bring it up.
I see. Yeah, I'm excited about that. I didn't know that they elevated Patrick, but I knew that they traded Weatherly, and I was not upset about that at all, because, you know, me and my annoyance I have with bringing people back. Some people, like Mac, bring Mac back. You know, Griffin, I had a problem with. It's actually been a pretty good thing. But I think this Jones kid's really talented. I saw him in the preseason. I think he played significant downs in maybe one of them. But he looked like the perfect other end to Danielle Hunter. Now, I'm not sure if he's going to be rotating with Danielle or if they're going to be putting him on the other side. But if it were me, I'd put him on the other side, because Wanham hasn't shown much that's outstanding, except for just being, you know, pretty good. He got one sack, I think I can think of. But the guys behind that are like, well, Weatherly wasn't really anything. And, you know, I think there's some more depth back there. But just the fact that I can't remember who they are just says volume. So I think that's going to be someone who could flash in the second half of this season.
Yeah, possibly. I think DJ's been all right. He hasn't turned into that starter. But Griff has been phenomenal, especially if you look at, you know, paying $1 million a year, too. I mean, that's about as bang. I'd like to see how, like, he's probably top 10 easy bang for your buck deal in the league right now.
I'm pleasantly surprised with Griffin. Like, yeah. I wasn't expecting a third of what he's done, and he's definitely been a pleasant surprise from where I stand.
He's playing better than he did his last year here. And, well, I suppose, you know, there was some stuff going on that year, so that plays into it, of course. Moving to the offensive side, you know, the O-line needs to continue to show what we've seen from it. It can't have all these backward motion type stuff. Like, we're 31st in penalties. And there's also this stat here that stands out. The Vikings, and this comes from Dusty Baker on Twitter, the Vikings have been flagged for offensive holding 17 times in six games. This is the most penalties through week six, and also just the false starts, and maybe just like a late hit, like Udo's done it twice, where you just come smash someone out of nowhere, and you're like, dude, I understand maybe, you know, you're stressed out or you're not playing as well this game, or maybe someone did cheap shot you. And, you know, it's always, they always get the second person, right? I mean, we know that. But I don't see the O-line, like, week to week falling backwards, meaning, sure, they'll have a rough game. But I think that with the unit that they have, they're young enough to where I don't see them going way backwards from week to week. So I'd like to see that improvement keep going with the offensive line, because – that pretty much says so much about our squad, like it has the last few years.
Well, Darisaw, I mean, You didn't know what to think. You know, he's out for the first part of the season, and he's a first round pick, and it's like, okay, well, he could be this or he could be that. And it turns out, I mean, I've watched probably some isolated clips on him, and I'm not an offensive line guru by any stretch of the imagination, but you know when you see somebody get pushed around, you know when you can see somebody can attach to somebody and move them out of the way, and he just seems strong. I know that he had some criticism about him in the run game, but you know that'll get cleaned up. But as far as pass protection, just very impressed so far. And I think that's kind of a glue for the offensive line. I mean, you had all these pieces and none of them really matched. And, you know, I haven't really taken a deep dive on Cleveland or anything like that. I'm not, you know, offensive line is, like I've mentioned, is not my thing, but I feel like you're good there. They're young and they're moving forward. Penalty is obviously an issue, but I mean, refs can call holding on any play, and sometimes it's legitimate, and sometimes you're like, well, what was that? Like, all he did was, you know, reach out. So
sometimes you're saving your quarterback from just getting smashed in a fumble too, you know?
Sure, exactly. And a lot of different things go in there, but on the whole, I feel like they've improved to the point where we're not like, oh, you know, we're not, you know, cursing them every game going, well, if we just had a league average line now, can they get better? Obviously, yes. And with them getting better, I think our offense will get better. But let's get Cook back in there, see how that works out. Let's get, you know, Cousins to progress a little bit more and what he can start to feel comfortable in the pocket. I don't know who said this, but Kirk was quoted as saying that he didn't even notice Darisaw, which is a good thing, that you just don't notice a guy. That offensive linemen tend to, if you notice them, it's not for good things. And Kirk said his pocket was clean. And if you can give, like I said, here's where we're going to find out. One, if they're any good, if they've improved, and can this be consistently counted on, not only by us, but for Kirk Cousins to know that he's got time in the pocket now, maybe not have happy feet or see ghosts and some of the stuff we were talking about last year, where he can sit back comfortably in the pocket and throw darts to people, which leads only to good things for our offense. And I think that's where it's headed, as opposed to, oh no, here we go again, offensive line not holding up. I think they're going to find a way to get it done. And that could lead to 30, 35 points a game, which is a way to win football games.
Yeah. And in the sea ghost, really in that Cleveland, I'd say we saw a little bit about that, but we haven't seen that from Cousins since Week 4 and Week 6 last year. The last like 16 some odd games have been pretty nuts. So yeah, I mean, and then look at Cook, not even fully healthy. Look at the game he had. He had like 130 or 40 yards rushing. And he can't be worse, right? I doubt he was pressing his ankle, you know what I mean? And in this 2 week break, so he should be ready to go, just hit the ground running. So I'm looking forward to it. So overall, keep improving on the O-line and then limit the big plays on defense, man. That those have been a killer all year. So we talked about it for, you know, a little bit last year or last week, talked about it at the beginning of the show, the importance of going 2-2 and being 5-5 with 7 games left, especially with the Pat P returning somewhere in that realm when you're 5-5. How realistic is it, Aaron?
How realistic is going 2-2 in the next 4?
Yep.
I think it's highly realistic. I think asking for more than that is where we start to get on the, is it realistic or not? I think you can get 2 of those 4. I'm not sure where they come. I like us against Dallas. We'll get into that in the preview. But I feel like Baltimore is going to be a little more herky jerky and a little bit more unpredictable, because I just feel like Lamar is a tear us up. We're not great tacklers when it comes to in space, and we tend to turn our backs in man coverage, and those are things that Lamar can feast on. But you know, we're going to split with the Packers one way or another, so we're going to win this one or lose this one. And the Rams are, I'm worried about Aaron Donald a lot. Just because, you know, we're young offensive line. This guy's total, but we'll get to that when the week comes. But Yeah. Which one of those two wins? I don't know, Chris. It could be any one of the four or none of the four. So you want to come out to do it. I think Dallas is a good chance of beating them. I think the Rams are a good chance of beating them. Packers at our place, you could beat them. That can happen. It's probably a good chance for a win. The Baltimore one, that's a tough one for me to win. But I think it can be done. Sure. So, yeah, is it realistic? Absolutely realistic. But when you get to, like, can we do 4 out of 4? Now that's unrealistic. Can we do 3 out of 4?
3 out of 1, right, yeah.
And
it's like, I think a little fanboyish at that point.
Sure, and 1 out of 3 is also, to me, a little bit unrealistic. Or 1 out of 4. So I think 2 and 2 is where you want to be, and it's also the most realistic expectation. But give me 3 out of 4. I'll take that.
Yeah. And, you know, if we come out and lose the home game to the Cowboys, then all of a sudden 1 out of 3 seems a lot more than 3 out of 4 at that point. But Cowboys at Ravens at Chargers, then Packers home, 20-6 is the combined record of all those. So it is, like I said, though, if you look at those top five, you know, teams in the NFC, that's pretty much there more than likely. Maybe one of those teams could fall off or injury stuff or whatever, but that 6 and 7 is wide open. And it's really about living up, like what we saw in this 3-3 stretch, improving a minor tad bit. And so living up to some of the potential we've seen, you still got to do that to get to 2-2. But I think it becomes a little bit more, you know, plausible. So I'm with you. I think it's very doable that way.
Here's my thing about it. It's like, I could have brought this up during the offensive bit too, but you're going to have to score with some of these teams, right? You're going to have to score with Dallas. You're going to have to score with LA. I'm sorry, I got the Rams and the Chargers mixed up. You're going to have to score with, which could be a pretty high scoring game, with Baltimore. So you're going to have to do some things offensively that aren't in your blueprint for the last two seasons. You're going to have to throw the ball, right? You have 3 wide receivers with KJ Osborne now. So you're able to do 3 wide receiver set stuff. You think you have a pocket you can throw in now. You know, you think you have a quarterback who's progressed to a point where, you know, you're not so worried about him throwing the ball. So you're going to have to throw the ball in these. And then to make Cook more effective, my point being is you're going to might have to progress towards pass to open up the run, as opposed to run to open up the pass, because really establishing the run here is just making sure you have Dalvin on the field in some capacity, right? If you put Dalvin in the backfield, that pretty much establishes the run for almost any defense. Yeah, you'll have to run it a couple times, but you don't need to run it 10 out of 12 plays to establish the run. What you need to do now is score with these teams. So you're going to have to come out, break your tendencies a little bit, and throw the ball so that you can get Cook off on some good runs. And that seems to be where philosophically there's a problem with Zimmer, and philosophically that's not what we're built for and all that other stuff. Well, that's tough, because you're probably going to give up points to any one of those four teams, and you're going to need to match them.
Yeah, and that is something that, you know, there has been some talk of, you know, should at the end of the season, as just a talker in the bye week, should the Vikings, you know, extend Kirk Cousins in the last, you know, almost season's worth of game now. We have actually been passing more. We have seen them have to not have 8 in the box because of our passing game. And a lot of it is, obviously, when you play a damn good defensive line, it's that, because the O-line usually screws up as well. But it's also, like you said, you know, Zimmer calling a timeout and talking it through. Here's what we're going to do. And then all of a sudden the conservatism comes out like crazy. We'll breach that Kirk Cousins extension a little bit after we preview the Cowboy game. Any other items before we get into this year Dallas Cowboy game?
No, maybe you talk about, you know, 17-week season, and what our bye is in was on week 7. So now we've got, 10 more games, 11 more games straight. Yeah, there's a little break. Games. There's a little break, what, after we play Pittsburgh on a Thursday, and then we don't play again until Sunday. So there's a little bit of a break after that.
But sure.
I guess, was it too early to have the bye, or is it a good time for the bye? I mean, I think a lot of it changes. If Pat P doesn't pull his hamstring, I think we're probably feeling a lot better about where we are in the bye than we feel right now. I mean, that, what, towards the end of the game, that's unfortunate. It's just changed the whole feel of the bye week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We were talking about how Darius sure wishes there weren't a bye week right now. He's just like, hey, man, I just got in the game. What's going on? I don't want to do this. I want to keep winning. Yeah, you're right. It did come at a good time, though. It really did. As far as last year's game, the year before the Vikes beat the Cowboys, either the year before or the year before that, I think it was last year, they had the Cowboys had a Hail Mary at the end of it to try to win. It didn't work. Last year, they beat Dallas, beat the Vikes 31-28, and both Cousins and Cook had fumbles in the first half that set up about 10 points there. Now, they did manage to come out hot. I'm looking at it right now. They scored 3 straight touchdowns to get up in that game, 21-16 and then 21-24, but did manage to give up, you know, an 11-play drive to lose, and it was a turnover on downs at the end. So it was when you look at the game, it does kind of feel like the defense couldn't hold them, and the offense screwed up early in the game, so the offense wouldn't have had to have come back if they didn't, you know, Cousins and Cook fumble. Because when you look, well, first of all, it was with Dalton, and they weren't, you know, he didn't have some kind of great game. Elliott ran for 100 yards, but on the flip side, you know, Cook did have 115 yards and a touch, and, you know, Cousins threw the ball 30 times. And, you know, so it really just came down to the minor little stuff. And sometimes that is, you know, a blindside hit from the back. You know, there's all sorts of stuff like that that could just, there wasn't much is my point. There really wasn't much there in the difference. And, you know, we obviously played better in the second half on defense this year, and not so much on offense. But looking at it, you know, this is a tight-ass game. Like, it's pretty much held since it's open at a 2.5-point favorite on the road, Dallas is. The over-under 54.5, I think that's about right, because, like you said earlier, you know, there's going to be a lot of scoring. Prescott, you know, has a little injury. So he could, some people are saying, he might be rusty. He hasn't been practicing. And that's a fair point. But I think we talked about this right before the show started, that he didn't get a ton of practice or game time in the preseason because he got hurt, I think his shoulder or whatever. And he came out and looked pretty damn good so far this year. I mean, the guy's a stud. So this is going to be really a tight game. I mean, I don't see any difference the last couple of years as far as how this game's going to play out. If you look at it, you know, we'll talk about Diggs, or at least maybe you will. I don't know. I have a couple of numbers on him that kind of makes you go, interesting. But they've struggled in the red zone. The Cowboys have. They're like seventh worst in the NFL. So they've had a little bit of issues with that, and also short yardage. Their lines played pretty damn good, and sometimes elite. Sorry, PJ Fleck. But on the short yardage, it kind of feels like us. They're not that good at short yardage on paper so far through this thing. So, you know, that the bend that don't break, because they are going to move the ball. We know that. You know, we know that. So if you know, if you're not getting turnovers, hey, they're going to chuck the ball around too. So maybe, you know, especially without Pat P, maybe, you know, that's where we do get some of those takeaways. But I don't see them, unless they're down, putting the ball up in the air 48 times or something, just because our pass pressure and nobody's hurt there. And you can have the best corners, or you can have pretty damn good corners. But if you got the ends that can get there, and the D tackles that can hold ground and push the pocket back here and there, it's going to be a tough afternoon. And kind of like I talked about earlier, we have seen injuries in the past to our number one guy, and we've managed to still be a pretty good defense. And a lot of it has to do with that pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, those are all really great points. And I think you're right about we are similar teams, built similarly, similarly strong at, you know, mirror images of each other, positions like linebacker and running back and receiver, and, you know, quarterbacks are in the same general tier. So, I mean, I think Vegas is pretty much spot on. I think there's going to be a lot of points. I think it's going to be back and forth. I think, you know, the last 2 years, Chris, I think the year before last year, it came down to Kendricks with a diving pass breakup on third or fourth down, I think, in Dallas. So it's been close every time we play them. I think they are pretty familiar with McCarthy being the coach and what he wants to do. And I've seen enough of him throughout the years that you kind of get a good feel of what they want to do, just different athletes. And I think that Vegas is spot on. It's hard for me to really say who's going to win this game. I'm going to go Vikings because they're at home and we seem to be sort of on a winning thing here. So I'm going to go Vikings, but by one, by two, by three. I mean, not by much. I think defenses will, you know, here, I hate to say it because it's cliche as it gets, but, you know, turnovers, special teams, penalties, that's what's going to decide this game. It's not going to be, I don't think it'll be big plays. I don't think it'll be anything like that. I think it's just going to be like who plays better football, sound, fundamental, good football, tackles well, you know, because I think it's just going to come down to just that little, that hair, that difference, you know, 2 to 3 to 1 point. It'll be the difference. And I'll give the Vikings the edge because they're at home, but yeah, I'm somewhat confident of that.
Yeah, you're right. Most of these games do come down to that. And that's why we're 3-3, right? Because all those things you listed, we shouldn't be 3-3, whatever the record is. I'm not going to say, oh, we should be 6-0. No, calm down a little bit. Cleveland shut us down. But yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it's going to come down to. And it literally came down to that last year almost. I mean, sure, if we had this year's defense, maybe it would have been different, but could have, would have, should have. Now, when it comes to Trayvon Diggs, oh, by the way, 28-27 is what I have written down here, sir. 1 point, so I'm right there with you. Vikings getting the dub. So Trayvon Diggs, right? This dude's got the most INTs. And it's funny. He's been making plays left and right, right? No doubt about it. I did a little – I didn't see every all-22 play, but I did a little deep dive on his numbers and whatnot. And he also has – it's kind of interesting. And the reason why I brought this up is because it's like I've said it. I've heard plenty of people say, why the hell do you keep throwing to him then? I mean, geez, you know. But that's kind of from afar, only watching the primetime game. And sometimes that – I think everybody's guilty of that sometimes where you're just like, oh, I didn't see that part. Oh, I didn't know that, you know, because I'm not watching every Cowboys game. And he also has the most penalties. And although he's on pace for the most INTs, he's on pace to give up the most receiving yards too. So that's why people are still testing him. Maybe they're going to slowly but surely not, but that's why they're still testing him because I've seen two full games of him. But, and then, you know, when you see the highlights, what do they see? Oh, do they show like, oh, he gave up 8 yards here, 16 yards? No, they're going to show the picks or if he gets beat or something like that. That's what you're going to see in highlights. So taking a little bit deeper dive on it, I was like, oh, okay, so he does get penalties and gives up a chunk of yards. I think he's given up the most yards in the league. So it's all of a sudden you're like, huh, okay, so that I understand why people are still going at him. But it is dangerous, no doubt about it. It is dangerous, but yeah, I'm right there with you. 1-2-3 point game. You know, the way the season's gone, it's happened twice positive for us, but it feels like whoever has the game or the ball last is going to win the game unless it's the Vikings, you know? I mean, it's weird to say that because our offense has done so well in that position, but have we finished it? No, we really haven't all but two. So I don't know, man. I do think this is going to be a all the way down to the wire. And Dak, if he's healthy and back, is a type of quarterback that will stay in the game and just do enough moving around, and they have this skill position. They clearly have a better offensive line than us and have for quite some time. So I'm with you there. I'm with you there. Any other takeaways from this preview in this game, or you know, we'll get to the Cousins talk, and then of course we'll talk a little Gopher football to close.
I was going to say that, you know, the last team with the ball will win, but if they score a touchdown and you line up Greg Joseph and
yeah,
38 yards for the win, you know, we're back into it. Nobody's looking at the TV and looking away. And did he make it? Did he? I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know. Let's hope it doesn't come down to that, but most likely it will come to some sort of thing like that. Now, Gopher football, where do we go from there?
Well, hold on. Let's talk the Cousins thing, because that has been a question.
Oh, you want to talk about there. I was hoping to avoid that, because I thought about it all day and I'm like, God, I don't know what I do. So let's hear you first on that one.
Sure. And just to add a little bit, our third down defense is back to where it normally is at the top. But the third down passing offense is not as bad as people think, not just completing a pass, but completing a pass for a first down. And we've said that a couple of times when we've seen usually – you know, when we've seen the stats at the end, how many first down passing and running, usually it's a little bit more even, because we usually get a lot more running first downs. And that hasn't been the case this year. But Cousins is tied for fourth in the league percentage-wise as far as passing, getting a first down on third down. And that's something, just moving those chains are going to be big, no doubt about it. But, you know, there's a saying, put some respect on my name. You know what I mean? And that comes from the rap world. But anyway, I would. I was in favor of the extension last time. We chose to give the $10 million in cap money that freed up to a guy, a safety that's not here anymore, whereas we could have gave it to Sheldon. We could have gave it to a solid guard. You know, that's in the past, obviously. But by extending him, clearly you tweak the cap number for next year. Obviously, he's not worth that amount. There's only a handful of guys that are going to be making that money. Well, there's actually about four or five of them now. But, you know, as their contracts kick in, I think he's going to be third or fourth next year. Third, I think, because there are some people that jumped up on him. But still, $45 million is just too much. But the only thing I didn't like about the last extension is it wasn't long enough. And I know that's sacrilegious to some people, but we have found out that he's tradable to an extent. But it just, it helps the cap number, not the guarantee. I mean, there's a lot of guaranteed money in this, but not the off the, well, it's still on the books, but not on the cap number. I think that was the key. If we would have given one more year, we wouldn't be staring at this $45 million. But when you look at it, I mean, like I said, for, you know, game four, game six last year, he played horrible. He just did. There's no doubt about it. But since then, in 16 games, so basically before this season, a season worth of, you know, it's not a small little measurement. It's a full season. He's completing 69%. He's 37 touchdowns, 5 picks, 4,500 yards, 6 out of their last 12 games. We have a last-minute drive that worked, and that's not including this year with that had nothing to do with him, you know, with the missed field goals and that one timely fumble or whatever. And then, you know, some of these narratives that have been built over time since he's been here, it's just, you know, it doesn't actually – it's not nearly as bad as people say. If you look at since last year, the start of 2020, so that – involves the horrible foreign game. It was Atlanta and Denver, I believe. This is most TD passes scored within a 3-point margin. Okay, so it's not just garbage time. He's second only, or he's tied with, actually, I'm sorry, he's tied with Russell Wilson, Cousins, Mahomes, and Brady. Aaron Rodgers, our guy to the east, has 25 of them, that bastard. But the guy has improved in minor ways that we've asked them. You give him a little pocket room, he's able to scramble a little bit. Now, he's ever going to be that great at scrambling? No, he's not. But the little minor stuff we've asked them to do, he has improved. And even if you, you know, he's, I think, fifth, and he has the fifth most game-winning drives. And that's, like I said, that stat of win or lose or game-winning drives can be tweaked a little bit. And we've seen examples of it right here this year. So, yes, I don't have any qualms about it. I know people are still think he's just garbage or whatever, and they point to next year. Well, we're not even there yet. You know, we're, that doesn't count on our cap until it counts on our cap in the new year. Because remember, last year was supposed to be cap hell, and we had one of the best defensive signings we've had, you know, multiple. So, and all of a sudden we had, up until we did these extensions, we still had like $13 million under the cap. So if that was hell, I don't know what is. But of course, next year it would have to be tweaked. But yes, I would extend them, because then, like I said, you can loosen up some of that cap. And maybe, as we both said last week, we would add a center guard next year to beef up that middle, because the edges look pretty good.
Yeah, you said a lot of stuff there. And most of it I agree with, if not all of it. Particularly the part about my biggest complaints about Cousins in the past, he's sort of cleaned up this year. And I've been very forward in saying that. I've been impressed with him. Now, as far as extending him, let's throw some things in here. Let's assume that Zimmer's back as coach, Spielman's back at as GM. All is the same, status quo. Because if you change coach and GM or both, you know, then you start to think about, well, do you really want to carry over Cousins into a new regime? Blah, blah, blah. So let's just throw that out and just say everything remains status quo. I'm going to say I would extend him, and it's for the argument that we talked maybe off air about last week, was at this playing rate, the way Kirk is playing right now, he's top 12-ish, top 13-ish quarterback. How hard is it to come across another top 12, top 15 quarterback in this league? It's incredibly hard. There are teams that have been searching for 10 years to try to find someone like that. You have one on contract right now with ability to extend. Yes, he has his flaws, and we can argue about what those are, but at the end of the day, he's somewhere in that area of top 15 and probably better than that.
This year, we don't have to go all the way to 15, though. Let's be honest.
Some people will argue. I agree with you, but arguably, you are right.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think there's an argument to be had. I think those are Cousins haters. If this is a 15th ranked year, then I can't really have a debate with those people.
Fair enough. But so just the scarcity of what he is would lead me to say, yes, you have to. Well, I won't say you have to, but it would be smarter to extend, not to talk about the salary cap, because if you can extend him and take his cap number down, extend it out, I mean, that's all pluses, right? I mean, that's anybody would do that, you would think. Now, if you would ask me the same question last year, let's say he was up for contract last year, I think I'd have a different answer. But what I've seen this year as far as, like, you know, game-winning drives or potential game-winning drives, the ability to, like, not – like, he slipped out of a sack last game that he – I don't think I would have saw the year before. He hasn't been throwing – sure, he hasn't been throwing dumb passes or just meaningless passes. Like, I can remember a few, like the one way behind the line of scrimmage and the other one. No. He has his problems. He's not that mobile. But he's in the prime of his, for a quarterback, the prime's like 30 to 40. These are the prime years of him. He's just entering that. He seems to be playing a little bit better. Offensive line is now young and improving, knock on wood. There seems to be a lot of reasons to go ahead and extend him. He's healthy.
The guy's healthy.
He's healthy. He stays healthy, and you don't really have to, I mean, you got Mond behind him, right? So if you want a future, somebody to put some hope on, you know, you can go with Kellen Mond and hope that he improves. And next year he'll probably be able to, you know, definitely take the quarterback two spot. So, yes, I would extend him. Now, let's say you go through a coaching change or GM change. Would I extend Kirk through that? Probably, because
it's not, an offensive coach, more than likely, too.
Well, sure, because, I mean, it just comes down to it, Chris. We I mean, if you can, if you can hand me another top 12, top 15 right. quarterback,
let's sign him up.
Let's make a change.
Send him.
Sure. If you can draft somebody and say they're going to be top 15 in the league, sure. Let's go that way.
Cam's shoulder was better. Hey, sign Cam, but his shoulder's not better.
I think a lot of fans tend to forget how hard it is to find a quality starting quarterback in the NFL. And that's what it boils down to.
And it's crazy that this fan base can't remember that when it, I mean, the shit just happened. You know what I mean? It just happened, you know, of trying to find a quarterback. So, but yeah, like you said, Gophers football got themselves a nice win. We talked about this off air. It's not the big surprise that they beat Maryland because they gave up a big lead last year when they didn't have any kickers. But it was how they did it. Very, very dominant. You know, we did take some shots here and there, but didn't throw the ball a whole lot at all. Didn't need to. And when you run for 56 times, and you can still hold a 5.8 average, 326. I mean, 37-35 to 22-25 on the time of possession. And we got, you know, we got Thomas now. You know, he got in there a little bit, but we hadn't gave him the bulk of the carries. And Fleck wasn't kidding when he said he's going to spread the ball around because there's no point in wearing down somebody. And these guys just don't have a ton of experience. Williams has the most, but still 21 carries, 15 and 13. That's a gorgeous stat line. But Thomas really showed something, and Irvin, you know, got over 200 yard rushers. Yeah, I was just impressed how it actually, we talked about this on air, how we actually got the dub, not just getting the dub.
Yeah, because I think, I don't remember exactly what we said last week, but we were like, this game could go either way. It could be this or it could be that. And a lot like the Colorado game, it just was something different completely and in a good way. Look, we're going to be able to run the football, it looks like, with my grandpa in the backfield at this point with the offensive line that we have now. They do have problems. They're not as great as we thought they were, but they can run block, and there's a lot of them. And so, you know, I like Kai Thomas. I like the switch of the backs. You know, they kind of each offer different things. I think Bucky's the best of them, to be honest. If you're going to just one back, I mean, I think he'll probably be the star back next year. But I like what Kai can do inside the tackles. He's not the fastest. I think he could have scored touchdowns if he had a little more speed last week. But he definitely has good vision. He knows how to run. He runs tough. And so, like I said, you just keep pumping out these running backs, and I think he's got more coming in. And, he said that's what he wanted to do, and it's definitely what he's done. The most dynamic is Bucky, I think, just because he's faster, he's shiftier. I like his vision a little bit more, but
spunk.
Yeah, and the biggest thing for me that I've noticed in this last couple games is the defense's improvement. I had been pretty critical of them earlier in the season, and I guess maybe they were just rounding into shape, but it's a really good defense, a tough defensive line with a big rotation. The linebackers have even started to grow on me a little bit. I think Gibbons is getting better every game. Sorry Marin is kind of always Sorry Marin, but Gibbons is really turning out to be a heck of a linebacker. I don't like Josh Howden in the secondary. Every time I see a big play given up, I see number 23 somewhere near it. And it's just like, okay, well, you have other players. Why are we attached to Howden so much? But I guess there's a rotation in the safety. I mean, you got Newbin, you got some other guys that can play that spot. And, you know, it hasn't just been this season with Howden either. It's been for the last few seasons, big plays. He did make a big play interception at the end of the game. I think it was in that Penn State game. But defensively, to me, is where this team's really improved since the Miami or the Bowling Green game. And that bodes well for the next few games.
And I think I would flip to the other side. I think besides the Ohio State, those five big plays that Fleck mentions every other press conference and multiple times in that press conference, it's actually the biggest problem was the offense, I thought. So I think the offense has come around a little bit. We're taking shots. And comes down to healthy linebackers, wide receivers, and we still don't have Jackson back. He's not coming back this week.
That's a fair point.
He might be gone. Mm. Hopefully he's back for Iowa. That's where I guess we really need him. It'd be nice for him to get a game in there at least. But if you look at it, we're about halfway through the season, obviously, and rushing yards in the Big Ten, Michigan is fifth in the nation. They lead with 253, Wisconsin 219, Nebraska is 211, we're 210. Northwestern can still run they're kind of in the middle of the pack. So rushing the ball in third down, we're third in a successful, Ohio State's third in the NCAA on third down, just offense, like 57% of the third downs they're completing. We're 44.8. That puts us third as well. Wisconsin's just struggling. They're 127th in that category. Wow. Northwestern's down there pretty bad. When it comes to this game, you know, Northwestern can't stop the ball or stop rushing, you know, the running. 218 a game. And we're actually down to 85.7. That's pretty damn good. So I think that we're going to go out there. They don't, you know, our offense isn't glitz and glamour, but it is going up. And their defense is like 7 points worse than ours as far as giving away. And they're not even averaging. They're just short of 20, which is not good. Now, Northwestern, though, that Michigan game, I've watched a chunk of it, and mm-hmm. they're just starting to open up on them right now. But it was push and shove a little bit. Now, Michigan is a running team, so they're going to slowly grind you down. They even did that to Wisconsin. They didn't blow them out right away. But Northwestern's going to be there in that first half, and we have to establish a run like we have, and they're probably going to, you know, run blitz. They're going to do all that stuff, and that's where we hit them with some big shots. But I like to say the Gophers is going to win this one. It 43.5 point. We're a 7.5 point spread on the road. We're going to have a fair amount of Gopher fans there, but 43.5. I could see a low scoring game like that, but yeah, I see right around 27-13 or 16 or something like that. Maybe 27-20, a late touchdown, but I think the Gophers will get the job done at Northwestern. Hopefully they've gotten this helter-skelter from game-to-game thing out of their system now.
I'm right there with you. I think they're just going to, like you said, they'll be in the game, they being Northwestern, for probably a good chunk of the first half. But I think we're just going to lean on them, wear them down. By the second half, that defense should be pretty tired. I think we're going to run the ball an awful lot, maybe some play action, some big shots. But yeah, Ottman Bell will probably get his. And then, you know, maybe Dalen Wright will get a little something. But I think the game plan for the rest of the season is pretty much going to be running the football with the three backs and the offensive line leaning on them. And, you know, 7.5 to me is right about right. I think Gophers by 7-10 points. But I think it mostly will be pulling away in the second half to win this one.
There you have it. Any last words to close the show, sir?
Just hope that the defense can make another step forward, and I have a lot more faith against the Cowboys and possibly win by more than, you know, 2 or 3 points. If the defense can come out and make a statement, you could win by as much as 10, and let's hope that happens.
There we have it. We'll be back next Monday. Let's try to get another dip. Go Vikes, go Gophers. Peace.